This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
Well, it's Father's Day, and yesterday I just happened to go skeet shooting with some friends of mine down in this lower Mississippi. It really wasn't lower Mississippi, it's somewhere down there by Holly Springs, but I rode my motorcycle, so it seemed like a far away. And as I was riding my motorcycle, my dad, he used to always sing this song. What did he say? Don't want no pickle, just want to ride my motorcycle. He always sing that silly song, don't want to die, just want to ride my motorcycle. And one time I even looked it up. It was hard to find, but I did find it was a song back in the 60s or 70s that some folk singers sang. And so I was thinking about that yesterday, and then we got there, and we were shooting skeet, you know. And sometimes I hit pretty good. I've only done it twice in my life. This was the second time. And the guy that lived there, he's the master, you know. He does it all the time. So he was expecting to whoop us rookies. Well, I kept up with him. I mean, I didn't hardly miss any skeet. That was like a little piece flying off, and I would be able to hit it. And I was like, this ain't me. I don't know where this is coming from, but I'm enjoying this, you know. And then I thought back to myself, you know, as good as I'm shooting right now, I couldn't compete with my dad. My dad would go duck hunting, and all of a sudden, he'd raise up and shoot. And I look up, I don't even see nothing up there. And about 5 minutes later, a duck come falling out. Boom! I'm exaggerating, but that's how good. He had a full choke shotgun that would shoot a tighter pattern and farther distance, and I just had a modified that would come out, and that was because I didn't shoot as good as him. It took more skill to shoot his gun. But he could shoot ducks. He was like a local legend in deer hunting, duck hunting, and those things. So I thought about him during that. Then somebody was looking at my old Wingmaster shotgun. I got a 870 Remington Wingmaster. And I got to thinking, how old is this gun, you know? It looks still in good condition. But I have used that shotgun since I was like 12 years old. My dad, I remember, he was living in a trailer at the time, you know, and didn't have much money, but he saved all his money to get that shotgun. And so he saved that money. He had that full choke, but he wanted this new Remington 870 Wingmaster with the real wood grips and stuff, really pretty gun. And so we'd go hunting, and when I would go hunting with him, he only had two shotguns, so I had to use one, and he knew I couldn't shoot that full choke, so he would give me the Wingmaster. Well, over the years, I began to see that as my gun. And you know what? Instead of Daddy saying, no, I saved and scrimped, and that's my pride and joy, he just let me take it home with me. Eventually, I began to take it home with me. Now I've had that rifle, that gun for probably 45, 50 years, you know, and my dad gave me that gun. So I was just remembering good things about my dad yesterday, and that's good to do, at least on Father's Day. Let's remember some good things about our dads. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 says, if you honor, say honor.
Honor.
If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. That's a commandment with a promise. God's saying, I want you to do this. I want you to honor them. We're going to talk about honor today, but before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for little Augustus being born healthy and whole, and I thank you for putting in the hearts of our people new ministries, new ways to reach out. Our Wednesday night door-to-door ministry is just a blessing to my heart. So many things, and it's coming from the people. The people are waking up again. They're coming out of this worldly apathy, and we as a body of Christ are saying, hey, wait a minute, we can't fall asleep. We serve a risen good God, and we want to do our best for you. And so you're given dreams and visions, and people are taking courage again. Let's get back into the fight. Let's grow this church. This is the church of the living God. This is what you are doing, Jesus, and we want to be a part. So help us, Lord. Help us each to have ideas and the courage to implement them and the courage to step forward as we go forth as a church, Lord. I know good days are ahead. I know our best days are yet ahead. I know this vision on the wall will come to pass, and we're going to see it, Lord. We believe it. And Father, we pray today that I would have a mouth to speak your very oracles, the words of God, that you would help me, Holy Spirit, and lead and guide me into all truth, and let me speak things that will encourage this body and those who may be listening online. Lord, I thank you for those and the tools to reach the community through the internet. And I pray that those who are watching online today that can't be here are feel your spirit just as mightily as we do here in this sanctuary. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so we got to honor our fathers and mothers. And so today we honor our dads. That's scriptural. It's scriptural to honor those who deserve honor. Dads, we thank you for time spent with your children. Sometimes we may not have known scriptures to teach them. Maybe we felt like we didn't do as good as we ought to do in this area or not. But just spending time. Thank you, dads, for spending time. That means the world to your children. For the love that you've shown. Dads, it's okay to say, I love you. Whether you grew up in a house that didn't say it or not. You don't have to do what, you know, your dad did. You can improve upon what he taught you. And so, dads, tell your children you love them. Dads, thank you for the sacrifices that you have made to put food on the table, to pay the electricity bill, to go to work, and to be a solid man who labors to bless his family. Thank you for that. And thank you for all the direction that you have given. You know, your children are only small once, and for a little short time. And I remember my kids used to ask so many questions. Daddy, why this? Daddy, daddy, why? Daddy, daddy, why? Daddy, 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 why? And it's tempting to say, and pull your hair out. Leave me alone. But that is the time that you can make such a difference. You've got a heart wide open to listen to daddy, and you ain't going to have that when they become teenagers. They're going to be putting a guard up against you. But when they're young and they're saying, daddy, why, daddy, why? Joe, you just keep answering. You keep putting into them the seed that you want to see grow up in their life. I look back at my children now and the way they act and the way they behave, I just see so much of what we went through as teaching them as parents, and I just see it paying off, and I'm just so happy. I've got such good children. You're wondering, well, why aren't your children here on Father's Day? Well, one of them's in Nashville, one of them's in Florida, but Josh says when he gets back from vacation, we're going to spend Wednesday together, so that's good when your children want to spend time with you. That's the reward of a dad who spent time investing into the life of your children. That's the best investment other than the kingdom of God, and that is investing in the kingdom of God when you invest in your children. Thank you, dads. Thank you for what you've done. Now, some of you may be saying, I didn't do that much. I wasn't even saved, and I understand, but I'm sure you did the best you could with what you knew to do. Amen? So today's message, as we continue our Sanctified series, we've been talking about the life of Joseph. We're going to talk about honor, because that's something men want. That's what something men crave, respect. The Bible tells us that wives are to respect their husbands and husbands are to love their wives. The wives and the women, they want love. They want that feeling of protection that love gives. But men want respect. Now, women want respect too, obviously, but men feed off of somebody respecting what they have done. My wife has learned that if she'll just pat me on the back and tell me good job, that I'll get out there and mow the lawn with some scissors if she asks me to. You know, I'll just do anything just to hear that she's proud of me, right? And children are the same way. They want to hear it. So this is a family message today. But the title today is called Honorable. And it's a hyphen between honor and a bull. Because are we acting in a way that can be honored? Are we honorable? And we see in the life of Joseph that even though he was a young man, he had decided to live his life by a code of honor. He had dreams, okay, they were smashed. He had a family, okay, they threw him in the pit. It seemed like everything was going downhill for Joseph, but Joseph honored his heavenly Father above all. And he knew if the whole world went the wrong direction, he was going to stay on course. And that's what honorable people do. So when they threw him in the pit, they pulled him out and they sold him into slavery to some Midianite traders who took him in a caravan to Egypt. And on the slave trade, he was bought by a captain of the Pharaoh's guard named Potiphar, probably a high-up man in the kingdom of Egypt. And he was purchased to work in Potiphar's house. We talked about last week, probably didn't know the language, but he was a quick learner. He was going to do his best wherever he was at because that's what honorable people do. And so he was doing good and he was serving. And because he was honorable, God honored him. And the blessing of God was upon Joseph's life. And because it was upon Joseph's life, it began to flow over into Potiphar's life. Potiphar says, everything this guy does is good. I can see the blessing of God on this man's life. And he began to trust Joseph. This Hebrew slave rises to prominence in this household of Potiphar. And so he puts him in charge of everything that he owns. He says, man, with Joseph, he's so wise and he's just a young man, but I mean, the Spirit of God is upon this fellow. And I can trust him. He's honorable. And so I'm gonna trust him. I'm going to sit back. All I'm going to do is worry about what I want to eat in the afternoon. You know, I'm going to come home from work, and Joseph will have everything taken care of it for me. And Joseph was doing that for Potiphar. You say, but he's a master. Why would he want to please his master? Because he's honorable. Well, Joseph is also a good-looking fellow, the Bible tells us plainly. He's well-built. That means he's got muscles. He's got muscles, and he's well-built. And so Potiphar's wife, I don't know. I don't know anything about Potiphar's wife other than that she began to lust after Joseph. You know, being married to a high-up official in all of Egypt, she might have been a pretty good-looking woman, too. Might have been one of those trophy wives. And so she is wanting to get with Joseph. And Joseph is running and hiding. You know, the Bible says flee sexual immorality. That means run. Look at another fellow and say, run. Flee, because you know what? When that temptation comes, it is probably the most powerful temptation in a man's life. And when it hits you and you give it a second, if you don't run, you're going to give in to it. Now, I'm not going there today, but that's a good nugget for you right there. Don't try to sit there and say, I'm going to beat this. I love God. I can do. No, you run. God says run. Amen. You flee sexual immorality. Anything you see with your eyes or feel with your other parts, you run. Don't give it. Don't put yourself in that position. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 8, it says, but Joseph refused. What did he refuse? He refused Potiphar's wife. She came out and said it. Sleep with me. She wasn't shy about it. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in the entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held nothing back from me except you, because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. That's an honorable man. You know, in that he showed not only honor towards God and God's ways and God's laws and commandments, he showed honor towards his master Potiphar. This man has put me in charge. I appreciate that. Therefore, I'm not going to repay good with evil. He respected Potiphar's wife. You could say, but she deserves it, whatever she gets. A lot of women out there today are deceived. But honorable men don't take advantage of that. You know, we're supposed to be the knights riding in with shining armor to rescue the damsels in distress, not be the perverts that they need rescuing from. That's just a thought. But we're not going to go into all that. But let me just say, Joseph was determined to be honorable. He was determined to live by a code of honor, to live by the word of God. No matter what was going around, who wasn't doing it, who was doing it with him, who wasn't, who was coming against him, who was making fun of him, who was throwing him into a pit, he refused to let exterior circumstances change his heart and cause him to dishonor his God. He was determined that I'm going to do what's right if I'm the only one. And men, you'll get laughed at these days for thinking that way. I'm sure there was a bunch of other servants in the house that thought Joseph was crazy for not taking advantage of the situation. Probably called him names or whatever. But as for me and my house, that's what a man says. That's what a man of honor says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Don't matter what the culture's doing. Don't matter what everybody else is doing. As for me and my house, we're going to be honorable. You know, honor in the Hebrew is the word kabod. And it doesn't really mean what you think it means. The actual translation is something along the lines of something heavy, something weighty. That's what honor means, kabod. Something that is heavy or something that is weighty. In other words, when you give honor, you give weight to something, substance to something. To honor someone is to give weight and grant a person position in your life, even authority. That's foreign talk in today's society, that I would actually honor somebody else, that I would give them authority to speak into my life. It's to esteem, to bestow value, and to give great respect. Everybody wants honor, but very few are willing to give it. And listen, whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. If you're not playing according to the rules, you can't win the race. God has given a structure of authority in the world, structure of authority in the family, a structure of authority in the government. Now, not everybody's doing good in the authority they've been entrusted with, but nevertheless, no matter what other people do, we are to respect authority. If we want to honor those in authority. Even if you don't like the president, you still honor the position because it is ordained of God. So instead of running down the person who's not doing good in the office, lift up the person through prayer. Everybody else can run him down. But God would say, lift him up. He's just a human like you are. He's just in a position of authority and he needs your prayers. It's giving weight to what God put in power. Does that make sense? If we just all say, well, I know better, I'm better, blah, 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 we're just acting like Adam did. We're acting like the devil did. We don't need God. We'll just sit on the throne. We're the smartest. We've got to learn to honor those in authority. I wasn't going to mention this, but the Bible does say give double honor to those who teach the Word of God. What? I'm just going to be honest. I feel like as pastor, you're the most dishonored person in the church. Because if I tell somebody anything, they leave the church. That pastor's not going to tell me anything. I have learned I have to babysit people. I cannot tell them what they need to hear because they won't honor what I say. They get immediately offended. Not you, because you're the few that's left here. I didn't mean to say all that, but
I got your back, Pastor. Don't worry.
Come on with it.
All right.
Come
on.
But what would happen if you did honor what was preached from this pulpit? You did honor when I maybe had a word of wisdom or advice from the Word of God for your life. Instead of getting mad at me. I think I'm sent here to minister to you. Those in authority, in that there is a structure of authority in the church.
Amen.
And so, well, there's a lot I could say there, but I'm not. But I'm held accountable for you. I will have to answer for you on Judgment Day what kind of shepherd I was. I labor for you. I pray for you. Because I honor you. And when people like Denise come to me and they say, oh, we've got an idea for Thursday nights, I'm like, great. I'm glad somebody's got an idea. I honor her idea when it fits our game plan. If we would give weight to one another instead of trying to outdo one another, that is an honorable life. In fact, Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. In the English Standard Version, says, outdo one another in showing honor. The New Living Translation, we don't have the ESV up there. It says, take delight in honoring each other. But in the ESV, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. We should honor one another. When you begin to play according to God's rules, that's when you become honorable. When you honor others, you yourself will be honored. You know, I was thinking about in the Army. You start out a private, but if you ain't listening to your sergeant, you know, I'm not going to do what he says, you're never going to rise. And you're never going to have any honor. You're going to get a dishonorable discharge. Right? Because you wouldn't play according to the rules. There's a scripture in there that says if you don't play according to the rules, you can't win. You can't finish your race. So God puts people in our lives to help us. But they can't help you if you won't honor them. If you know it all. Right? Jesus was so happy when that Roman centurion asked him to come or to heal his servant. And Jesus said, let's go. And he's like, no, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. He didn't say, I'm a man over authority. He saw himself as a man under authority. And he said, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. When I say this to my servant, he does it. I don't have to worry about it getting, you know, how he does it. I know that my authority carries weight. And when somebody tells me something to do, over authority over me, I do it. He understood authority comes from God for a reason. Not just a bunch of Lone Rangers, rebels down here, everybody fighting. You know, the things that we glorify in America here, being a rebel, having American pride, all those things are backwards to the kingdom of God. It is about humility, respect, and honor. And so Jesus was so excited. He said, man, I hadn't seen faith like this. I tell you what, this excites me to see somebody that understands that I don't even have to come there. I just say the word. And there's some words that God wants to speak over your life. If you'll have the faith to believe them. Matthew 15, verse 8. Can you imagine what God sees and hears? I look back on over the things I've said to God. It's like, why do you put up with me, God? I know where I come from and how long it's taken me to get to some sort of understanding of humility. Just a little bit, you know? At one point, God looked down. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Man, we'll raise our hands a little bit, and we'll sing the song, saying, I'm yours, yeah, yeah. But our heart's not in it. You know, we say amen, that when it says that you shall not engage in sexual immorality, but then we go home and we do, you know? We say we believe, but we don't do what we believe. And what's the test of whether you really believe it or not is if you do it. So we give lip service to the things of God. And that's not honorable. But you are. That's not you. I'm off the cuff a little bit here today, but just recently I've been battling some temptations coming back on me from my old days and stuff. And And the Lord just showed me how to say this. That's not me anymore. I just say it out loud. That thought comes and the devil's attacking me. Oh, no, that's not me anymore. I've been redeemed. Bought with a high price. The blood of Jesus. I'm good. No, thank you. That's not me anymore. Say it out loud. Fight. Fight. To be honorable. Proverbs 13:18 says, if you accept correction, you will be honored. None of us like to be criticized. And when somebody tells us that we ought to do something differently than what we're doing, that's called correction. And we consider it criticism, and we get our little feelings hurt. But how often have I talked about us being bigger people on the inside? It's a fool that won't accept correction. You know that God Himself cannot help a fool. He can offer them all kinds of advice. He can offer them, but if they will not accept correction, the wages of sin is death, and they're going to continue in that cycle. God Himself cannot help them. He gave them a free will, but he will not take it back. We each have to say, am I a big enough person to have somebody speak into my life and correct me? Now, sometimes I have talked to people, and in my roundabout way, so they don't leave the church, I have said, have you thought about it like this? Maybe if, you know, you're doing good, but if, you know, and before I get it out of my mouth, they teach me a lesson. They tell me what the Bible says. They know all that. And I'm like, okay, you got it. But they're still not corrected. They're still not doing what they were supposed to do. Since I'm being so honest today, do y'all love me at all? I'm a work in progress myself. Can I be honest on myself for a moment about fathers?
We know you're ugly, but that's okay.
That makes me feel good. No, in the past, you've heard me tell stories where about my dad and mom getting a divorce when I was 8. You've heard me say I didn't have a dad in the house. You've heard me say things that made you believe that my dad might not have been there like he should have been. And I've said a lot of things. And I think we all want to join this sympathy game. You know, this is why I'm like I am. This is my excuse for not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to blame it on my parents. You know, they didn't do like they were supposed to. I didn't have a dad in the house, blah, blah, blah. And I repent for that. The older I get, the more I realize my dad was not a bad dad. He never beat me. He never mistreated me. He, in his own way, did what he could. You know, my dad was, 20, 21 years old when I was born. He got a divorce, and he's still in his 20s. We moved to Memphis. You know, he's rebuilding his life. He remarries and everything. Okay, so I could get mad at him that I didn't see him more often. But he did make effort to see me, and we would get together, and he would be a good dad. He was doing the best he knew with what he had. He wasn't saved. He didn't have all this teaching. Let's cut our dad some slack. I'm going to try to stop making sympathy pleas about how I was raised and about this. My mom's a good mom. Yeah. And my dad's a good dad. And life happened. And something must have went right because my brother was serving the Lord before he died, and I'm serving the Lord. Amen. And I love my dad, and I miss my dad. And as he got older, he became the best pawpaw to my children. And I believe he was saved before he died. I'm not sure of it, but the Lord told me I could see the progression in his heart as he would ask me questions. And the Lord told me 2 weeks before he died suddenly, unexpectedly, that your dad is saved. He's going to be in heaven with me. And so I can't wait to see him again. And when I get there, I want to be able to say, I finally came to a place where I appreciated what you did for me and didn't just complain and try to get people's sympathy off of the things I didn't have. It's easy to look at the things that went wrong. But let us remember today and honor our mother and father, the things that have gone right. Wouldn't that be a better idea? Yeah. They did what they knew to do. The Bible says, give honor where honor is due. Leonardo da Vinci, he said, I didn't know he was a great thinker, but apparently so. He said, who sows virtue reaps honor. He who sows virtue reaps honor. So you keep doing right, and one day you're going to look and say, these people honor me. They treat me with respect. I have become a person that is honorable. Joseph sought to live this honorable life. One of the ways he did it, he was a hard worker. Like I said, he could have just done enough to get his paycheck or whatever, get his meal as a slave. You know, who was enthusiastic about being a slave? But Joseph was. He did everything as if unto the Lord. He did his job as if unto the Lord, not unto men. And he just saw things differently. Joseph had this deep sense of honor. And James 3:13 says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. How do you prove that you're wise? You live an honorable life. Because wisdom's going to lead you in that direction. Doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. You see, it takes a lot of humility to be an honorable person. Because there's that accepting of criticism, that accepting of correction, that accepting of I'm going to stay in my lane and I don't have to skip the person above me to go to the higher boss and tell on him. This is where I am. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. And then God will raise me up because of God exalts the humble. But he doesn't exalt the prideful. Some of us are stuck. Work on your humility, your appreciation. And work on being honorable where you are and watch what God will do. Charles Spurgeon says, obedience to the will of God is the pathway to perpetual honor and everlasting joy. Obedience. Socrates says the greatest way to live with honor in this world is to be what we pretend to be. Wow. That'll hit a Christian right between the eyes. The greatest way to live with honor in this world is to be what we pretend to be. And I tell you what, this world might listen to what we had to say if we actually lived out what we say we believe as Christians. We lived as honorable people. You say, but nobody else is doing that, and they're getting ahead. They just think they're getting ahead. They're just throwing up a house built on the shifting sand, and when the river comes rising, guess what? It's my house that's going to stand because I have taken my time to build an honorable life. I have played within the rules, and my God will elevate me. He will exalt me out of the river. I'll be walking on the water. They'll be choking. So don't look at what the world's doing.
Put your house on the rock.
Live what you pretend to say you believe, like Socrates says. Don't y'all wish sometimes that Adam would have honored the Father more in the garden? He's a good, good father. He's given them everything. Every tree in the garden except one. And he just put that one there so that they had a free will to exercise. But he warned them, don't eat of it. Don't do it. The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Don't do it. God's always warning us. Today I give you life and death, blessing and cursing, but choose life. Choose life. But here comes old dishonorable devil. Look, I know what God said, but did he really say you can't eat that tree? Look, man, you can be big as God. You can make your own decision. Nobody has to tell you anything. You'll be God. The devil come in. He's tempting this man's wife. And Adam's just sitting back watching it happen. That's not honorable. You're not protecting those that God's put under your charge. And you over there listening to the devil yourself. Well, yeah, I would like to make my own decisions. I would like nobody to tell me what to do. I don't want any authority. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to exalt my throne above God's. Just like you did, devil. He didn't think that out, did he? So he ate of that tree. He got kicked out of the garden and he died spiritually. He didn't die physically right away that day, but he died spiritually and he got kicked out of the garden. How dishonorable to a good, good father. Things might have been different, but it's the way they worked out. Then he had Cain, and Cain killed Abel. Sin infected the whole world. Pride entered into the heart of man, to the bloodstream of man. Ever since then, we've been these rebels without a cause, these dishonorable people that don't honor our Father who gave us life. God gave us life. We are His because we are His creation. But then we sold ourselves to the devil through dishonorable choices. So what does God do? This good, good father. He could have said, that's it. But he sends his only son, Jesus. Now, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Spirit at this point. But he becomes a man. Now, God made us in his image. And now he's being made in our image so that he can come to die for us. Because only as being a human being can he die. And only by dying can he pay the sin debt. Only the blood of a spotless lamb can wash away the stain of sin. And so he comes and he lives without sin. And he shows us. You want to see honor? See how Jesus treated the Father and his commandments. It was first place in his life. Jesus didn't make himself out to be anything. He was content in who he was in his Father. He didn't have to prove anything to anybody. He was living to please an audience of one. And so he gave his life as a ransom. We had sold ourselves into slavery when we were free. And Jesus came and gave his life as a ransom so that we might be free again. He bought us back again. And so, most of you, everybody in this room, has said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I've come to realize that my life is no good apart from you. In my flesh is no good thing. I can't do this, God. I've sat on the throne. I thought it would be fun, but it ain't. And the fires of hell are tickling my toenails. And I know that if I die, I'm going to be separated from you forever. And you are the way, you are the life, you are the truth. There is no goodness apart from you. There's no, you know, in hell there's going to be no peace because God's not there. In hell there's not going to be no life because there's only death and life. God is life. It's going to be horrible. And we came to the end of ourselves and we made this declaration that Jesus, you be the Lord. You sit on the throne. I will honor you as Lord of my life. And we were so excited to be free. So excited to be forgiven, to be given a fresh start. I once was lost. But now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. God is in control of me. Everything is good. I have eternal life. And then we walk this thing out. And then over time, we begin to compromise here, compromise there. And then we begin to want to sit on the throne again. We begin to dishonor God again. God said, I knew, even though I gave you my spirit, you're still living in sinful flesh. I knew you would still sin. So I gave you 1 John 1:9 that says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. How many times? 70 times 7. That's the number of completion. Every time. Amen. So he gave us something that, so that when we did sin, we don't have to live in just the shame of it. We don't have to live in the depression of knowing that I have disrespected my God again. I might as well give up. No, that's the devil talking. Jesus said, put it under the blood and get back with it. Amen. And so where you're here today, you've sinned. Guess what? Probably everybody in here has something that you struggle with. I got stuff. And I ask God, like a thorn in the flesh, take it away, God. But he says, no, you overcome it. Because I've made you more than overcomers. You have the power. You have everything that you need it takes to live a godly life. You have to use those tools. You have to fight. You have to fight to be right. That is honorable. Sitting back and giving in is not, it's dishonorable. So live an honorable life. He left the devil down here to give us somebody to beat up on, to make us stronger. The devil's just weights that we're lifting to make us stronger Christians, to have stronger witnesses. Don't despair if you mess it up sometimes. Just put it back under the blood and stop and believe the word of God. He said, I will forgive you and cleanse you. If you confess it. So what I have learned is to confess it and then to say, God, I believe you. Everything in my mind tells me I'm no good. I made a mistake, that I ought to beat myself up. I ought to walk around and tell everybody how terrible I am. I shouldn't even go to church. I should be ashamed of myself. And we let the devil just, he's the one that tripped us up and we fell. And then he's over the top of us telling us how stupid we are for falling. In reality, Jesus said to confess your sins. And put it under the blood, and by faith, start over.
Amen. Thank God. Amen.
That's the honorable thing to do. The honorable thing to do is always to believe God's word. You walking around just kicking the can down the road, I'm not even going to try anymore because I keep falling for this addiction. And God knows your struggles. God knows that that's not your heart to do. Paul says, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do is the thing I do. Who shall save me from this body of death? It's just terrible. It's just, it's hard. It's hard. Paul said it's hard. And God knows it's hard. We're not perfect people. We're getting back up people. A good man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. He gets back into the race. And once you do that over and over, you begin to overcome sin. You begin to say, that's not me anymore. That's not me anymore. That's the old me. And you begin to paint a different picture in your heart of who I am and who I'm supposed to be. And that is the blueprints of an honorable life. To live according to what God says about me. You say, I don't deserve it. I don't either. That's grace. That's grace. Live in grace and give other people grace. You want mercy? Show mercy. That's honorable. Now, if you're joining us online today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're here today and you're unsure if you died, whether you go to heaven or hell, You don't have to be unsure. You can know that you have eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus. He said if you would just confess with your mouth out loud, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, is that something that we can believe? I tell people that. They say the prayer with me, and then I turn around and ask them, so if you die, are you going to heaven or hell? Well, I think heaven. Why? Because they're still basing their salvation on them and not on the cross. The whole reason that we're saved is the cross. It has nothing to do with us. We look to the cross. The devil says, you ain't acting saved. It don't matter. The cross says, I am. And it's the engrafted Word of God is able to change our souls. It gets down in us and shows us that the Word of God is true. Your faith is not in you. Never should have been. It's not about us. It's about Him and His finished work. So if you don't know Jesus, you can't. He's waited for this day, this hour, this moment that you would simply humble yourself and say, Jesus, I need you. I want you to sit on the throne of my life. I believe you, what you did on the cross. When you said it is finished, the sin debt was paid, and right now, by faith, I receive my forgiveness. And my faith will be in that work that you did on the cross from here on through eternity. You just tell Jesus, be the Lord of your life. And you begin to live according to His Word, and you believe what He says, even when your flesh don't want to. And you set your feet to walking out an honorable life.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's Word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.